Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during March. This will be a month of transition in several ways. First, clocks will change around the world, and we northerners will be switching to daylight or summer time. But the date for all that time shifting varies. It comes on March 10th here in the U.S. and in Canada, but in Europe it comes 3 weeks later, on the 31st. For sky watchers, daylight time can be a bit of a nuisance because it means the sky doesn't get dark until well into the evening hours, especially in midsummer. Don't get me started about all that. A second transition comes on March 20th at 7:02 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, when Earth reaches one of the two equinox points in its year-long orbit. This signals the beginning of northern spring, astronomically speaking, and autumn south of the equator. The sun appears directly overhead, as seen from the equator, and days and nights everywhere are both 12 hours long. The word equinox comes from the Latin equinoctium, meaning equal nights. And check it out. On the equinox, the sun rises due east and sets due west, no matter where you are. Finally, spring might be just around the corner, but it can still be chilly for stargazing. So be sure to bundle up warmly when you head out, because you'll want to stay outside for at least 15 to 30 minutes to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. Okay, let's get started. The month opens with the moon absent from the evening sky. New moon falls on March 11th and the full moon on the 27th. So for the first half of March at least, Jupiter still rules the heavens once it gets dark. In fact, Jupiter is one of only two bright planets in view this month. The other is Saturn. You can spot it low in the east-southeast after midnight. But all the others, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, are playing hide-and-seek with the Sun this month. As soon as it starts to get dark, look for Jupiter high in the southwest. It's about two-thirds of the way up on March 1st and halfway up by month's end. The bright star to Jupiter's lower left is Aldebaran, marking one eye of Taurus, the bull. Jupiter is moving eastward, toward the left, so watch how their positions shift as the weeks go by. On the 17th, a fat crescent moon slides right between them. As darkness deepens, turn a little to your left, towards south, and there in the deepening blue you'll find the first star of the evening, brilliant Sirius, the dog star. Sirius is the brightest star in the entire sky by a wide margin, aside from the sun, of course. How early in twilight can you pick it up? Keep an eye on the horizon directly below Sirius. This star is located due south at 8 p.m. on March 1st, and thanks to the shift to daylight time, it'll also be due south at 8 p.m. on March 15th. Sirius is the real star of the winter season, but you can see it throughout much of the year if you know when to look. Sometime in August, it first becomes visible low in the east shortly before dawn. 5,000 years ago, because of the wobble in Earth's spin axis, this first pre-dawn appearance occurred in late June, and ancient Egyptians knew that the first glimpse of Sirius came just before the annual flooding of the Nile River. They worshipped the star as the spirit of the river. Apparently, they were also the first to depict this star as a dog. In more recent times, sky watchers realized that the dog star rises and sets with the sun during late July, an arrangement in the sky known as a conjunction. Some cultures believe that the heat from Sirius combined with the heat of the sun, creating the hot and sultry weather that often comes in late summer. So they named this period of time, from 20 days before the conjunction to 20 days afterward, the dog days, and today we still refer to this sticky weather as the dog days of summer. Okay, let's get back to our chilly March evenings. As dusk deepens, look between Jupiter and Sirius to spot the mighty constellation Orion the Hunter. Its two brightest stars are white Rigel, which marks Orion's lower right foot, and orange-red Betelgeuse, his upper left armpit. Midway between them, look for the three-star row of Orion's belt. Once you've located Betelgeuse, look to the left for the bright star Procyon. These two stars, together with Sirius, form a big equilateral triangle, the winter triangle. Sirius and Procyon are practically next-door neighbors to us, cosmically speaking. They're only 9 and 11 light-years away. Well, if all this isn't enough to draw you outdoors, how's about if I toss in a passing comet? It was discovered last year by a telescope in Hawaii with a big long name that's abbreviated Pan-STARRS. So that's the comet's name, too. To see it, you'll need a very clear, transparent sky and an unobstructed view toward the western horizon. Grab a pair of binoculars if you have them. Your best chance to see comet Pan-STARRS will be March 12th to 17th, though you can try looking a few days before or after that. To find it, first note the point along the horizon where the sun sets. This will be nearly due west. Then, 30 minutes later, look directly over that spot by about 10 degrees. That's the width of your fist at arm's length. You're looking for a little puff of brightness in the twilight glow, and there might be a delicate tail extending upward, too. A thin crescent moon helps point the way on the 12th and 13th. Each night, comet Pan-STARRS will be a little farther to the right and a bit higher up. But since it comes closest to the sun on March 10th, it should also be getting a little dimmer each night. So good luck. You can get more tips for viewing this comet, or anything else in the night sky, at our website, skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll talk about some carnivores that are stalking upward in the eastern sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.